Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I'm reading from Luke chapter number 15, and it is a very important passage of scripture where Jesus is teaching lessons to those that are around him. And this is something that is dear to my heart. And Pastor Anthony and I were talking about this just a few weeks ago when somebody decided they were just going to walk away from God. And we were talking about those that drift and those that in rebellion leave God. And I saw a post this week that was shared with me from somebody else that they're so far from God that they're probably reprobate. Because now they are embracing the things that are anti-God rather than the things that are God. And as I thought about that, I thought of the reason why, and I'm very intimately aware of the events that happened in that individual's lives, and it made me say, I'm going to check my spirit, I'm going to check where I'm at, and I'm going to stop that way back from the edge. I don't want to live on the edge. I don't want to be there. And in Luke chapter 15, in the middle of the chapter, in verse number 8, it says, either what woman or what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. And you're going to see a common theme throughout this lost and found piece, that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. That lets me know it's not just the angels, but it's the Lord that is worshiping, because he's the one that has given his life for us. Thank you for standing in honor to the word of God. You may be seated. Each of us have experienced a time of loss. It is highly likely that most of those present today have lost a valuable or semi-valuable item at some point in life. Last December, I was a little careless. I receive gift cards, and oftentimes when I receive gift cards, I hoard them. And I just keep them until a time where I said, oh man, if I could add all of these up, look what we find. And maybe some of you guys, I actually have 3 Home Depot gift cards in my wallet right now. Because, I mean, eventually, I mean, that's a big power tool. It's not just, you know, it's something big. And so you kind of hoard it. And so that's what I had done. And I had stacked up these gift cards. And I had $1,100 or thereabouts worth of gift cards. And I had wrapped a rubber band around them. And I usually kept them in my closet in my organizer. But it was Christmas time. And everybody was home visiting. And we were running around. And I thought I might find something just really great. Or I might be able to use these gift cards. Because some of them weren't for a particular store. They were just Visa cards, and you can use those almost anywhere. And those were of value, but I reached into my pocket one afternoon, and they were gone. Now, if it was a dime or a nickel or a quarter, big deal, you know. You find all of that kind of stuff sitting down on the edge of the couch if you ever turn it over or decide to clean it. But panic struck in my heart. It's like, And at first, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want to admit to anybody that I'd lost my gift cards because, you know, old men lose things, not young guys. And so I just kind of kept it to myself. And here's, I kept feeling, I patted every pocket and looked inside of the pockets of my coat. And I searched the garments that I had worn because usually I can remember what I wore in the past few days. And it's like, okay, I wore that pair of jeans. I wore those pair of slacks. Now, which coat did I have on? Well, it had to be the black coat because I wore the gray pants. So let's check all of these places. And I asked the grandkids if they had seen them. And of course, I'm not asking the kids first because you ask the grandkids. But their motor mouths, and they told everybody, Papa lost his gift cards. Has anybody seen Papa's gift cards? And they're like, you have warts, you know. They're willing to declare everything. I checked under the furniture. I even went so far as to call some of the places that I had frequented. There was this laser light show out in the Oregon City area that was really cool, and we all went and celebrated there. And I called them and said, hey, this is where I sat. Did you find it? And the guy actually did look and call me back and said, I haven't found that. And then I called the gift card companies, and I struck out. More than a week went by, and I had asked the kids again and again, and I had looked. I looked under the seats of the vehicles. I had pushed things aside in my closet and, you know, swept under the bed with my hand and looked under there and shined lights where I hadn't shined them in quite a while. I found dust bunnies and all kinds of things. But days later, I leaned back in a rarely used recliner, and my hand brushed something that triggered my memory. And yes, you guessed it, there were the gift cards. Kind of had fallen out of my pocket and down in the slot between the cushion and the side of the chair. And oh, I rejoiced because, hey, that's $1,100. You can buy a lot of stuff with $1,100. In Luke, the 15th chapter, Jesus is speaking to the tax collectors and the sinners. And as he is, he notes that the Pharisees show up and they're murmuring because Jesus is spending time with sinners. And so Christ then begins to address the whole group speaking in parables. Now, a parable is a story about natural happenings that reveal a spiritual truth. And Jesus addresses the issue of lost things in the whole of this chapter. He also reveals which technique should be used for a particular lost thing or finding that lost thing. Technique is very important. When I lost my gift cards, you heard the story and what I went through. When I lose a grandchild, I know to holler for them and look in their favorite place where they might play. If I lose my iPhone, find my iPhone. It's right there on the iPad, and it'll tell you, well, it's in the house. Well, good luck there. But or finding my car in the parking lot. Yeah. Anybody ever done that? No, you don't have to admit that. You're not old. And then there was something really cool that a friend gave me one time. It's called an Apple chip or something. I have this in my briefcase, so if I ever lose my briefcase. Now, the one thing I haven't had is something that tells me where to find myself. After all, Christ later declared his whole purpose in coming to the earth. In Luke 19 and 10, he said this to Zacchaeus, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. His whole purpose is finding lost people, lost souls, men and women that have lost their way, children that are far from him, those that need to be reunited with his spirit, with his purpose and his design. So there are three lost items discussed in this chapter. There's a lost boy, a lost sheep, and a lost coin. And the first is the lost sheep, and it appears that the lost sheep has simply wandered away from the rest, either through distraction or laziness or following the food trail. And when the sheep was lost, the master notices the loss, and he leaves the others safe because he knows they're secure in the wilderness or in the desert under the care of another, and he goes looking for that one lost sheep. That wandering sheep. You see, a sheep is not something like a hound or a predator that goes off looking intently for its prey. But sheep easily get lost because they just duck their head down and they begin to eat and they just follow the food trail. But when the master finds the sheep, he carries the lost sheep on his shoulder and he goes back to where the other sheep are rejoicing. And when he arrives home, the Bible says that he gathers his friends together and asks them to rejoice with him. And in verse 7 we read, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Many of us in this room have at one time been that lost sheep that was found. And today we're rejoicing in the presence of God because the Master looked for us and He found us. He looked for us, the wandering sheep. When somebody wanders, you look for them. We act like Jesus acts. If somebody just drifts away from the house of God, we go in search of that one lost sheep. That one lost sheep is important. If we're safe in the house, God's biggest concern is not us. God's biggest concern is that wandering sheep, because that sheep is in peril. It's in danger. It could fall in a crevasse. It could be the prey to a wild animal. And so it is spiritually, when we're not connected to the rest of the sheep, when we're wandering, it's a difficult and a precarious place for you and I to be. Some people would say, I don't really need church. Well, not if you don't want to go to heaven, but if you want to, you know, if you want to be a part of the body of Christ, this helps gather us together. Church is important, and church is a good place, and gathering together with those of like precious faith. You see, it's not our job to judge the wandering sheep. It's our job to find the wandering sheep, the wanderer. It's not ours to divine what the problem is or have some psychoanalysis. We might pray about it and God may tell us what's going on so we can help recover that sheep from where they are at. The wandering sheep could have lost their way through discouragement, disheartenment, distraction, depression, suffering of shame, and the list goes on. Sometimes the sheep wanders because they're discouraged because God hasn't answered their prayers. And so they just get discouraged and then they don't show up and it doesn't make much difference because they're discouraged already. And the longer you stay away, the less you miss the house of God. And you don't even realize that you've wandered until you wake up and say, wow, why did I do that? I can't believe I did that. It's because you're separated from the rest of the sheep. There's all kinds of reasons for being a lost sheep. But then the next person or the next lost item is a lost boy. Now this was an act of selfishness, defiance, and rebellion. The boy demanded his portion and he left the authority of the father's house, the provision of the father's house, and therefore he left the protection of the father's house. And the Bible says he went to a far country. He got as far away as he could from the father's house as possible. That's a dangerous place to be because you may never find your way back to the Father's house. I've seen people that have found their way back, but I've seen people that lose their way and never find their way back. And the illustration of the person that I was using a little bit earlier, I doubt they'll ever find their way back to the house of God because it's not just that they're separated from the house of God and been involved in activities, but now they're defiant to the law of God and even the word of God. And the word of God should be preached in the house of God. The Bible says that this young man spent his living or his inheritance in riotous living. The Amplified Version says this, in living loose from restraint, no restraint. He did whatever he wanted to and spent it on whatever he could. Now remember this, since he had taken his portion, he had a limited amount. But if we stay in the house of God, there is an unlimited provision from God because the Father has no lack. He's the creator of all things. He has provision. And the beautiful thing is it appears the Father continued to build wealth even though the Son was gone. You and I are not taking away from God when we remove ourselves from Him. We're not even draining His pockets when He gives to us in His house because He owns it all. He has it all. He's the source of power. Yeah. And He spent all that He had. And the Bible says a mighty famine arose. And He began to want. And so he hired himself out to feed the pigs. One translation says he glued himself to a citizen of that land. hoping that he might survive. And he fed the pigs, and he really wanted to eat what the pigs were eating because he was so hungry. In other words, he is now surrounded by all that he once despised because he's a Hebrew.
Yeah.
Don't eat pork.
Yeah.
So you don't touch it. You don't even want to be around it. But now he's surrounded by what he once disdained. And I know we have found ourselves, some of us, in that place where we wandered back out and we thought, well, here's my limit. I'll only go so far. But the stair steps down are so much easier to take than the mountain that we climb up. And it can be swift. I mean, we can go so far and we think we're doing all right, and then, boom, we hit the slide and down we go. We lose our footing, and things we thought we would never think or do or act upon, there we are. Negative circumstances finally caused him to wake up spiritually. And verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You see, he said, I'll just go be a servant. I don't have to be a son. The servants in my father's house are taken better care of than I could take care of myself. And I found that to be true in my life. God can take much better care of me than I can take care of myself. He can preserve me. He can preserve my coming in and going out. And the beauty of this was the father was waiting and rejoicing, and they had a great big celebration. But I think it is very important to notice that the father did not chase the son, the rebel. Now, this is hard for some to embrace, but you know, when somebody's rebellious, we've heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together. You know, when somebody's really upset, they can infect everybody around them. Somebody can show up to the family dinner and they can just be, I was careful my statement. They can just be angry at everything that's going on in the world, and they're the victim. And halfway through dinner, you all think you're victims. And you know you're not, because you're blessed and you're in a safe, clean place, and you're eating a wonderful dinner and you're clothed and somewhat in your right mind. But there all of a sudden you think you're a victim too, because victims create victimhood, and victimhood creates other victims. And so it is that when people decide they want to rebel, the father said, okay, I gave you what you needed, and you can go if you want, and I'm not going to chase you. I'm not going to run you down. You go as far as you want, but I'll be waiting when you come back.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
So the lost sheep he looked for, but the rebel, he just said, well, they're just going to have to come back. Now, God knows who the rebel is, and I'm not telling us to define who is a rebel, but sometimes you can tell. If people say, well, I just don't want to submit, or I just don't agree with that premise. I don't agree with that. And it's sad. And the problem is some people that rebel, they never come back. Because their rebellion turns into rebellion, not just on one issue, but another and another. Because everything that we believe and hold to, and it's intertwined. I saw a post of this individual, and they used to counsel people that were thinking of giving up their children, and now they posted something pro-abortion. How far can you get? When you were out there preaching the gospel and trying to rescue lives and help others, and now life doesn't matter at all. You see, we can all get that way if we're in rebellion. But the father was waiting, and he rejoiced. He was excited. He was happy when they came back. There's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents.
Yes, yes.
But I want to land on the lost coin. So we read in verse number 8 of Luke 15, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? You see, the coin was lost in the house. Something she had worked for was missing. Something of great value had slipped from her grip. She had not spent the coin. She hadn't given it away. She had simply lost track of the coin in the house. Perhaps she had stacked something else on top of the coin, or maybe it had slipped off the counter or in behind another article, or perhaps it had fallen through a hole in her pocket. She knew the coin was in the house. She had held it in her grasp there recently, or maybe it had been quite some time. This was not just a penny or a dime. It was of something of great value. The Amplified Version reads this way: or what woman having 10 silver drachmas, each one equal to a day's wages? She'd lost a day's wages. She'd lost a lot of money. A day's wages makes a lot of difference in the budget. And she's saying, oh no, I'm getting ready to go shopping and I'm short. I've lost 10% of everything that I had. How do you find a lost coin in the house? You light a candle, you sweep the house, and you look diligently until you find it. Now, I have to admit to you that I'd almost given up hope on finding my cards, but I was still aware that they were somewhere, and now they're tucked in my briefcase. I know the zipper pocket they're in, and that's why this thing is usually in my briefcase. Because if I can find this, I can find my briefcase, and if I can find my briefcase, I can find the gift cards. Stay out of my office. But they're connected to each other. There are some things, if we find one thing, the other will be right next to it. If we embrace one lost item, the other is all there. You know, it's interesting when you go through a store, if you lose a child, it's hard to find a child because you got to go down every aisle. But if there's a tall adult in the bunch, you can find that beacon. And say, oh, I can see them. If there's somebody that has a hat on or they're very distinctive clothing, you know that you can find them. It is the lost coin that captures my attention today. And it is here that I believe God would have us focus. It is Christ's desire that you and I live an abundant life. He died so we could be free from sin, without guilt, having no condemnation, with true joy in our spirits and defined purpose, knowing what we're built for and doing what we're built for, having great confidence that we're fulfilling the will of God. That's God's design for you and me. At ease with who God has made us, unafraid and unashamed. And I have watched as you and I have walked through difficult times, and I have reflected on struggle and triumph. And I just got to address this. You know, COVID has changed a lot of things, hasn't it? Just try to find simple stuff in the store. I was driving through the Starbucks line the other day, and I noticed they still have that sign up. Due to shortages, we may have to substitute. And I'm thinking, guys, it's still going on? Come on. I never quit going to Starbucks. But it's like people have conditioned us that there's shortages of things, that we're thinking, how could there be shortages of things? Everybody's back to work. How could this be happening? And I know it's a very complex issue, and it's a geopolitical issue that you and I can't solve. But thank God he supplies all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm all right with that. And we've had to substitute some things in our life because some things just aren't there anymore. Just, I was at the store a couple months ago, and I was getting boards to fix my deck, and my upper deck never got fixed because I couldn't find 14-foot 2x4s and treated wood. They just don't exist. And I said, it's a lumber yard. They didn't quit making trees, guys. I mean, how can there not be a 2x4, 14 foot long? All my life, all I had to do was go, all my adult life is go to the lumber yard, and there they were. But they're not there anymore. And of course, we can be conspiracy theorists, and we can look on YouTube and see the pictures of the guys taking pictures of millions of board feet of lumber sitting in lumber yards and trains full of lumber and all kinds of things. And we don't know what's true and what's fake. And, you know, we have no clue. But I know when I go into the lumber yard now, I mean, I can't even drive into the Home Depot and load it up. I got to load it, take it off, load it, unload it and load it. And it's like, it's twice as much for twice as much. And I'm like, what's going on in my world? And we don't know if it's ever going to go back to normal. But it's pushed us, some of us, in spiritual ways, in directions we never intended to go. We laid out of church for a while because there was no church. And then church was different or less frequent. And now it's the habits are gone. It's pretty easy to lose a good habit, yeah, and hard to shake a bad one. I don't know why that is, but it's like we got used to having commitment. And as I was praying this week, the Holy Spirit brought this scripture to my mind. And I began to pray for some of you. And I prayed specifically for the things that I know you have lost because you have admitted that. And some of you, I've watched you and I see a difference in you. And I'm not preaching this to be critical. I'm preaching this for help for us all, because there are things that we've lost in the house of God that we can find. It's not that we're the rebel that took everything that God had for us and said, I'm out of here. We're not even the lost sheep that wandered away, but we're still coming to church. But there's some things maybe we're not as intense. Our commitment isn't as great. The prayer life has ebbed away. The joy unspeakable isn't evidence on the faith. And the peace that defies all understanding or logic has slipped away. And fear grabs our heart much easier than it did, because we lived in fear, and there was fear mongering, and we listened to so much fear for so long. Oh, heavenly passion is what we need. The desire to share the gospel. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because that's our commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It tells us to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues. It tells us to do all these things. And we're in the house. But there's some things that we need to find that we've lost in the house. God intended for desires to be toward reaching our world. Oh, the will to testify of God's goodness and the boldness to speak out in our world. That's what we need. Our world needs a voice. I saw a montage of a political individual that kept saying, we need to speak truth. We need to speak truth. The truth is, the truth is. And every time they said that, they told a lie. But they were trying to say that their truth was truth, even though it was a lie. But our world needs to hear the truth. And the truth is the word of God. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. It will not pass away. God didn't suggest that you don't kill. He said, thou shalt not. Now, I'm going to say this. This is not a political statement, and I rejoice at the change that has happened in the Supreme Court and the judgment that was made this week. I'm thankful for that. Some of you wouldn't be here today if your parents had done what people have been encouraged to do. You wouldn't even exist. But thank God for His grace. But you know, in the Old Testament, if two men were striving and one happened to hit the pregnant wife of the other, the father of the unborn child got to determine if that man died. It's in the scripture. Why? Because that unborn child is still conception. From the womb to the tomb, all life is valuable. All life from the womb to the tomb. And so even when we look at euthanasia, that's not an acceptable matter. It's not up to us to take life. Now, it's different if you're trying to sustain life beyond the point of sustenance. But here we are in a world that's confused. And the only way for the confusion to dissipate is for us to speak truth. So we've got to speak the word of God. Not in anger, but in kindness. Not in fear, but in faith. You know, the Bible says the word will not, his word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that whereunto he sent it. And I'm going to say something that may crack your brain, and I'm going to tell all the preachers at family conference when I preach this sermon to all the ministers the night before you all get there, is that it doesn't matter who speaks the word of God, the word will not return void. It can be somebody that does not know full truth, but if they speak the word of God will come back to him, accomplishing what he desired for it to accomplish. It's crazy how that works. My wife had a cousin that when he was backslid, he used to witness to people at the bar. He used to give them the word of God, and there was a whole group of them that showed up at church and were converted. While he was still out in the world, but the word does not return to him void. Amen. But the things that we lost, we don't just happen to recover our joy. We don't just wake up one morning and go, wow, I'm joyful again. One does not casually recover from spiritual lethargy. The desire to declare the goodness of God doesn't come as a whim. One does not just happen to stumble into spiritual passion. An individual in spiritual peril must first take personal responsibility. It's time to sweep the house. It's time to clean the house. First, she lit a candle. The Bible says, The prophet says, light my candle, Lord. Oh, we're a city that is set on a hill. We're not hid under a bushel. The candle is the Holy Spirit in our life. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of God to shine in brightly in my heart house. That's the key to the restoration of any spiritual gift you or I have lost, is a visitation of the Holy Spirit, a coming again of the Holy Spirit. And I say, shine brightly in my heart, God. Shine brightly in our midst. Turn on the light, Lord. Let it be very clear and very plain. You know, most of us look pretty good in the shadows. A smoked mirror makes us look all right. But we can't look in a carnival mirror in order to look at ourselves. But we've got to look into the Word of God. The Holy Spirit continually shining in your heart house is essential at getting back up from the stumble. The Holy Spirit is necessary to give you and I revelation of what must be swept out. The Holy Spirit will give light to what should not be left in the heart house. And the Holy Spirit will help you and me see what is hidden under the dust and the clutter of life. It's time to sweep our houses. It's time to sweep the house. You can sweep the corners of your mind and your heart. You and I can clear our heart of the passions that do not belong there and purge our spirits of that which is causing spiritual lethargy. You and I can banish unforgiveness and forgive God even for what we have held a grudge against him about. And we can walk away from fear into the future if we'll sweep our heart house. It's time to sweep the house. And there's things we sweep with. You know, we have whisk brooms we have house brooms that sweep like this. And then we have the push brooms. And then we have the push brooms that feel like they're made out of metal. And it depends on what you're sweeping and where you're sweeping it from, what you use to sweep that particular thing. We need to sweep with common sense. God has given us understanding that there are some things that just do not go together, that will not get us where we need to go. How could we embrace the attitudes and the actions of this world? How could we go to places that promote those things that are unrighteous and move in a direction of righteousness? Sweep with the Word of God. Read the Word of God and let it speak to you. As I said to you as I was praying for you all, it was actually Friday morning, and I was praying for some of you and say, God, we need help. And he said, sweep the house, sweep the house. It's there. It's not far away. The people haven't wandered off. The people haven't left in rebellion. There's just some things that are available to you and I, and we just need to get the broom out and sweep. Don't you just hate cleaning sometimes? By the way, I'm thankful for those of you that like cleaning. Some of you just say, thank you very much. You love cleaning in the church. And it's like, wow. There's a couple of you ladies, you just love cleaning the bathrooms. And it's like, whoa, weird. Nice. And it's wonderful to walk in and it's shiny and it's clean and it smells good. And you're going, well, thank God somebody likes to clean the bathrooms. Because I went into a restaurant this week and walked in and it was like, oof, about died of ammonia poisoning. And it was like, wow, it's been a while. Smelled like a gas station. You know, it was like, it was horrible. But that's what can happen if we just neglect. It builds up a little bit over time and a little bit more over time. We can sweep our heart house with the conscience that God has given to us. Don't bury your conscience, but ask God to let your conscience be awake and alive. At the end of my remarks today, I hope that we can come and ask God, God, make my common sense come back to me. Give me my right mind. Let my conscience be awake. Let your word be alive in my life. Sweep with the moral compass that God has given you. Sweep with the voice of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you today. You can pray over your own needs. You can pray over what you're lost. And you can say, God, I need passion. And he may just tell you, hey, you need to spend a little less time here and a little more time there. And you can walk out saying, oh, I got it. I swept the house and I found the answer. I know what I need to do. Sweep where you haven't swept in a while. Sweep where you know you should sweep. When I was a kid, part of our job was clean the house. And there were different jobs in cleaning the house that we had. And the worst job was to clean the playroom. But the person that got up the earliest on Saturday morning got to choose the first job. And when they finished an A job, they got to choose their own B job and C job. And the person that slept in, you guessed it, they always had to clean the playroom. And the playroom was never really that clean. There was always a little bit of clutter in that. You know, sweep in the corners of secret desire and behind the furniture of resistance in your life. Have the courage to sweep under the edge of the throw rug of neglect that you have in your life. In the closet of unwarranted shame, sweep away and sweep and sweep and sweep the dirt until you uncover what should not be there and what is there that you didn't realize was there all along. Remember, my parents had an old upright piano, and it was ugly when we got it. It had been in a church. They had tried to start a church in Roundup, Montana, and it was in an old service station. And I remember going to have a church there, and somebody had given this piano, and it was a monster of a piano. And I remember my mom wanted us to learn the piano, and she wanted a piano. And when we got it, oh, it was ugly. But I remember my mom got that old English out. You know, first she dusted it, and then she wiped it down with a wet rag and let it dry. And then she rubbed that old English on it, and it brought the sheen back. And some of the scuffs were obscured, and she made it look beautiful again. We need to clean in the closet of unwarranted shame and under the coffee table of casual commitment and say, God, I want to go behind that door of inconsistency and in the basement of my fear, and I'm going to take the whisk broom, and I'm going to take the sweeping broom, and I'm going to take the push broom, and I'm going to take the dustpan, and I'm going to sweep all of that into the dustpan and carry it out of my heart house, because I know, God, it's there. The coin is in the house. If you would stand with me, I'm going to ask us today in the closing of this service to sweep with purpose and diligence and consistency. It's time to seek diligently. Yeah. Are you brave enough to come and let God say, God, I'm sweeping my heart. I'm getting the cobwebs out of the way, and I'm sweeping in the corner and going, whoa, I can see it there. You know, we find a lot of things when we sweep. Not sleep, sweep. You can find that passion and uncover your purpose. You can see hope again, and you and I can have freshness and joy. There's treasure in the house of God. And as I have been preaching, I hope you have been thinking about the things that maybe you've lost in the house. You say, God, my worship, it just used to have fire. God, I want it back. My desire to declare your goodness to those that I meet, it's kind of been, it's dampened. God, I'm going to sweep until I find it because I want it back. Because God did not say, well, you know, I'm going to fill you with my spirit and you're going to look back your whole life and say, that was the best day of my life. And the further you get away from that day, and if it's like it is for me with some of you, it's been 53 years since I received the Holy Spirit. It's a long time. Sister Muff, how long since you received the Holy Spirit? Huh? Yeah, a long time, huh? 60 some years. But that's not the end. That's only the launching pad. But we can rejoice in his presence and feel it fresh and new today. We can bow at his feet and feel his cleansing fire roll through us and say, oh yeah, there's been junk that's just been collected just by life, not because I embraced it and you're going to burn it out of me today. And I'm going to get up and say, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean. And we'll leave this place with joy and rejoicing. It's time to sweep the house. And after we sweep the house, then she said, she called all her friends and said, look, it's back. I found my day's wages. I found my coin. I found that worthwhile thing that I knew I had. I knew it was there. I knew it was there. I knew I just misplaced it, but I uncovered it. It's right there in the corner where I'd failed to sweep for so long. So I invite us all today to this altar to sweep our house. Let God speak to you. Let his word speak to you. Let your conscience speak to you. Let common sense come into your thinking. Let the moral compass that God has given you come alive again and find true north. Let the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to you. I want to be all you want me to be. Move in my life, oh God.